Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Revis and Butthead podcast. And in this episode, me and Hussein, my co-host, are going to go through our top five safeties in the 2022 NFL draft. I think we got a lot of good stuff on these guys, and I think we should just kick it right off. Hussein, who's your number five safety?
Okay, and I just want to make aware of the fact that these rankings are based off what the Jets need. If we had different needs at safety, my rankings would probably be different. So starting with number five, the exact definition of that, Jaquan Brisker. I think he's better than the fifth safety in this class as a player, but he's an in-the-box safety who can't really play deep, and that's not what we need. Maybe if we signed a free safety, he'd be higher on my list. But Jaquan Brisker, what's good about him is he plays really well inside the box. He's a definition of a pure, really good box safety who plays coverage well. He had a really great user, like it was like you're playing Madden, like a user like with a safety on fourth down goal against Wisconsin in a like game on the line play. Sometimes in the run game, he's always there. He's always in it, but he over pursues sometimes. He can get caught on blocks. He can miss tackles. But I've seen some really good play from him as a coverage guy. But again, as a like, in the box safety, in like the flats and all that. So I just don't think he really fits what we need. I comped him to another guy who I really liked as an in-the-box safety coming to free agency, Jaron Curse, the strong safety from Dallas. Just kind of similar traits, strong in coverage. They go for the ball. They play the run well, but coverage is definitely the better suit, but they just don't have the range, the agility, or like just the experience to get deep.
Okay, I see the Jaron Curse comp, and I really thought I was going to have you shocked because Brisker is also my number five. And leading up to this, you were always so hot on Brisker. Every time we talked about Jets safety in the second round, it was Brisker with you. I don't know if the tape watching it made you change your mind. And
doesn't fit.
I really thought I was going to shock you with number five, man.
I'm sorry. He doesn't fit what we need. If we signed a free safety, Brisker probably moves up to like three or two for me, but he doesn't fit what we need.
Yeah, he doesn't fit what we need. We have the in-the-box safety with Whitehead, so I think we're covered in that case. But
his play style is also pretty similar to Whitehead. I just thought it'd be lame if I comped him to Whitehead.
It'd be pretty lame and lazy, not gonna lie.
It would be.
I don't know about lazier than me because I don't even have a comp for Brisker. I couldn't really think of a good comp, so I don't have one, but Brisker's weird to me, right? So, you know, usually before I watch these players, I typically will look up, you know, just quick scouting reports, so I can skim through and try and understand without watching in-depth tape and only looking at highlights or anything like that, just what they're about as a player. And it kind of aligned with what you said, how he's a really in the box safety and great against the run, but the games I watched, it was sloppy against the run and in the box. I saw him now when he's lined up against tight ends, he can hold his own, but he doesn't really have the shock to his punches to stun linemen and tackles. Like what you'd see with Jamal Adams when he would play on the edge, you know, like he's obviously not someone you want lined up against a guard, but against a tackle, he can give a good punch, shock the lineman and stun them, and he could try and get around them. But when it comes to Brisker, he wasn't able to do that. He doesn't have that. And I just don't think he's a great fit for in the box. He looked overmatched a lot. And he does have a tendency to at least split through some gaps and stuff, which is nice to see. It's what you want to see from your in-the-box safety against the run. You don't really want to see them going head to head up against the lineman. You want to try to see them use their speed and knife through gaps. And he did show some ability to do that. But when it comes down to it, even when he got into the backfield, I just saw way too many missed tackles. Tackles, from what I saw, they were a pretty big issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
I And it was all the same issue. He comes flying in, his pad level's way too high, and he also takes some bad angles at times. I honestly really wanted to leave him off my top five, honestly. After the five safeties, there was just a huge drop-off.
Yes, from what I there watched. Was.
And I couldn't put the other guys in over him. So he's still at number five. I think his coverage actually looked pretty good. He doesn't really have ball skills. He's not going to generate turnovers. But when it comes down to it, I think he looks really good when he's close to the line of scrimmage where the receivers are. He does a great job blowing up screens for the wide receivers. He's great at sniffing them out. You do see the football IQ there, and he does have the recognition. But I don't know if I want him back deep playing center field every play. I don't think I see him like that. He's more of a player that you want to move around, who you don't want him in the one same role all game long, right? So like Hussein said, he's not really a fit for what the Jets are looking for and what the Jets need, especially in the defensive backfield. So because of that, along with the drop-off in talent after five, Jaquan Brisker is my number five safety. And again, like I said, I don't have a comp for him. I was lazy. That was kind of pathetic. It won't happen again. So
it won't happen again. Don't let it happen again. Honestly, I'm disappointed. But like you kind of like really nailed it. Like for every, like, you know, really, if you watch his highlight reel, for every like really flashy big tackle he makes, he has like two or three that just like whiffs in the backfield where he's back there and he just misses, you know, like you said.
I mean, it's nice that he has the speed and the football IQ to get back there and recognize it, but you need to finish the play. You can't
get
you,
getting you, back there. Yeah. Getting back there
means get home.
It means jack shit if you don't finish.
Exactly. And if you want to be the number one safety on my top five, you gotta not only get in the backfield, but you also gotta make the play. So maybe if the Jets didn't sign Jordan Whitehead, he'd be a lot higher on my list.
I agree.
But it's still the missed tackles that really it's a problem. It's not Ashton Davis level bad, but it's not good either. So with all that being said, we are down to our number four safety. So Hussein, can you shed some light on who your number four safety is in this class?
Yeah, this one was a tough one for me. He moved really up and down for me. I have Jalen Petrie at four. That's a bit of a shocker. Jalen Petrie, he came in. He's a bit of a tweener, actually. Probably the biggest tweener in this class. He's 6 foot and 197. He just doesn't look like it. He looks huge. Something insane for a safety, 18 and a half tackles for a loss this year. That's edge rusher level numbers. So my biggest problem with Jalen Petrie is that he was never asked to play free safety. He played like linebacker, a lot of like what looked like a linebacker, that's like slot corner kind of hybrid thing, maybe like kind of strong safety. He never played deep. He was never asked to play deep. And I question his ability to play deep, kind of similar to Brisker, but I think Petrie's better overall, better ball skills. Petrie is just, I think in the short zone coverage, he's incredible. He makes some really good plays. He doesn't get targeted that often. I did a lot of watching against them in the Big 12 championship game when they played Oklahoma State. And basically in the red zone, they kept going after him and he made insane playing coverage after insane playing coverage. But just kind of like Brisker, you know, he made the big, really flashy, big hit in the backfield and then missed some, you know, one-on-one tackles in the backfield. I don't love him in one-on-one as a tackler. I think his position value, once again, does not add up. I mean, maybe he can play free safety. I don't know if his like numbers kind of align that well. I don't know if he's like a proper fit. For him, like he plays a really high level for Baylor's, like in their defense. He plays like their star linebacker role where he makes the reads. He has a high IQ. He plays at good angles. They asked him to play a little more safety at the Senior Bowl and he played really well, but it was a Senior Bowl. It's like, okay, you see him covering tight ends and wide receivers one-on-one. You know, okay, you weren't asked to do that at Baylor. You were asked to play more zone, but that's different than being center field. And I, again, don't think this guy can be center field, just like Brisker. I think he's a better prospect than Brisker. And I think for Petrie, when you kind of turn on his film, you realize there's a reason PFF has him listed as a corner when you go and try to find him. When you're like filtering through and you don't see him at safety, it's because you list him at corner and he played what looked like a lot more like slot corner than, you know, strong safety. The comp I gave Petrie, there was two here. The one I gave was Keanu Neal, the way we would have used him if he signed with the Jets and the way Dallas used him in a linebacker safety role. And the second one, because of his ball skills, because of his, you know, like tackles for loss ability, this is kind of his like peak ceiling is Tyrann Mathieu.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I can see the Keanu Neal because just in terms of build, right? Keanu Neal's kind of thick, right?
Yeah.
Petrie, in my mind, is kind of wiry.
I was thinking more of usage, you know?
Usage, yes. But I think the Tyrann Mathieu comp is more better if you're just talking about body.
Yeah, height. Body types. But then Tyrann Mathieu can play good deep safety, and he can't. That's kind of like why I was stuck.
Right. It can be a hard comp. But going into my number four, I have Lewis Cine from Georgia.
Oh, you're killing me.
6 foot, 299 pounds. So I'll just start with the good, right? He's a really hard hitter when he comes down. When he's playing center field and he could come down and make some run fills, and he has great reaction time. There was a play, I don't remember who the opponent was. I'm trying to see in my notes if it's in here. I hope it is. I don't think so. I guess I didn't write it down. But he was playing center field, and it was a run to the left, and he was able to identify it and run all the way down and make the stop. And the running back only really gained maybe 4 yards or so. I like his closing speed. I think a lot of his ability in coverage, he's pretty good at tight coverage at times. And I really love his work by line of scrimmage. He's great at shedding blocks. He can make the tackle on the ball carrier. I also like his football IQ. He shows that he can recognize plays. And the greatest part is he's an explosive blitzer. Kind of going back to what I was talking about with Brisker, where he didn't have that shock when he punches or makes impact with the lineman. Cine has that. It's great. Now going into the bad, a lot of the bad was in coverage. So I think his balance at the top of route stems can be a little bad. He can lose balance. He can fall for false steps. He can bite when receivers will plant one way and try to go another. He's aggressive. I like it. But in the NFL, you're going to get exposed with that. I'm not going to say this as a negative because, quite honestly, he really had no chance on this play anyway, but he just got abused by Jameson Williams on a stutter go. It's a famous play. I'm not going to hold it against him, but I just wanted to mention it. But in terms of his ability in zone, it goes back to the aggressive thing. I think he bites too much. He'll bite on underneath routes a lot. And if you're going to play deep safety, you cannot bite on the short stuff. You can't. And unfortunately, seeing all that, it made me change my perspective on him because, yes, we're looking for a deep safety, and he does line up at deep safety a lot. But there were just certain things and certain instances and some routes where he loses balance. His hip transition to turn and run with receivers isn't as fast as you would like to see. And I don't think his zone awareness is the greatest because going back again, he gets over aggressive and will jump short stuff. There was an instance where he was in control of the hook girl zone over the middle of the field, which is usually what a strong safety will drop into. But in this instance, it was him. And there was a drag coming across the field. He bit on that. And because of that, he let a pass go behind him, and it was a big gain. So I don't love what I see in zone. Jets play a lot of zone coverage. It's honestly kind of flipped from what you said about Brisker, right? Where I actually kind of liked what I saw with Brisker in coverage, and you thought that his run defense was great, and I didn't think so. Now it's kind of flipping where I'm not crazy about Lewisine in coverage, but his run defense ability is great. Not saying that he wouldn't be a future good deep safety, but if I'm going off what I saw, I wasn't thrilled with his pass coverage. So that's kind of why I have him ranked at number four. Now, when it comes to a pro comparison, I still struggled. Safeties really aren't my strong suit, but I do have a pro comparison. Like I said with Jaquan Brisker, I wasn't going to let it happen again, but I compared him to Justin Reed. I don't know if that's lazy or not, but that's kind of who I see a little bit. But yeah, maybe you can shed some light, Hussein. Maybe you can answer why I was killing you.
I'm a dude. You just felt like you stabbed me with a sword. I'm just every single player on Georgia defense besides Trayvon Walker stand, and hearing that hurt. So I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about Lewisine when the time comes.
Fair enough.
Moving on, number three, I'm running with Dax Hill. 6 foot, 192. He ran a 4.3840. This dude flies, but that's not it. Let's start with the fact that, you know, normally in a defense, your linebacker, your inside linebacker is your mic. They're the one calling the plays. Dax Hill is a safety. He was calling the plays for Michigan. He was the communicator on defense. He was the leader. You know, it wasn't Hutchinson. It wasn't Ojabo. It was him. He was the leader of that defense. They use him kind of everywhere. I know you texted me saying when you're playing, like when you're trying to watch Dax Hill, like, where is this dude? So Michigan, and this is kind of new, they did this this year. They didn't do it last year. Whenever they ran big nickel and put Dax Hill in the slot. When they're in base defense, he was playing deep. He prior to this year, he played a lot of deep. So he has the ability to play the deep half. He's really fast. And let's be real, in the Big Ten, with the slot receivers that are out there, with the Jahan Dotsons and the Garrett Wilsons and the Jackson Smiths and Jigbas of the world, you must really trust Dax Hill in coverage if you're going to throw him out there against the slot receiver. And with the amount of like man they ran against those slot receivers for Dax Hill, they really did. And that's a lot from the coaching staff. You know, they have an NFL level coaching staff out there, and they trusted Dax Hill in that big of a role. Obviously for us, we're not going to ask him to play, you know, slot receiver, man him up. I actually honestly didn't even love what I saw from him against the slot receiver. He got a little handsy for me sometimes, but I really like him as a deep safety. He's really fast. There are so many times where I just see him like kind of be in the slot and then just backpedal and like turn his hips with elite speed to get to the deep middle. It's insane sometimes. His backpedal speed is incredible. His burst when he recognizes the play, also insane. There was one play I was watching against Iowa where, you know, like one of those staple goal line plays is like the tight end motions behind the line. It's just a quick toss to the tight end. You know, you just wrap around the corner and try to get the 5 yards and score. Yeah. He followed the tight end, blew him up for a loss of two. He's so fast. For somebody his size, you know, I think he's the smallest in this class, or he's right there with Jalen Petrie. He hits and hits hard and he comes down fast. And I really love everything about his game. You know, there's a lot of talk about him being a late first round pick because of his versatility. I think he'd be a good, you know, I think he'd be a better fit in other places because, you know, like a defense like kind of like New England where he can play everywhere. He can man up against slot guys. But I think he'd be also a damn good, you know, center field safety for us. And, you know, banking on that, the comp I gave him was Devin McCourty because of how good he is in coverage. He doesn't have the same ball skills. Devin McCourty is probably one of the better ball hawks in the league, but his coverage ability is just, you can man, zone, anything, you know, good run support anywhere on the field, and that's what he gives you.
Okay. Well, I feel like for the most part, we've been pretty spot on so far in terms of our rankings, because at number three, I also have Daxon Hill. And you explained a lot of it with his coverage abilities. I love how aggressive he is also when he's pressed. I love it. He puts his whole body when he jabs the receiver. And it's kind of funny because when you look at his small size, you're like, he doesn't look like he can hit that hard. But oh, he does. You can see it when he's pressed. You can see it when he's making plays at the line of scrimmage. You see it everywhere. In terms of his football smarts and his IQ, he's really good at recognizing route concepts and zone coverage. Like, he has no problem jumping routes or playing perfectly between like a really short 5 yard out and like a deep corner route. He can play the middle of that perfectly. He can break quickly. He has quick reaction. He's twitchy. And he's so good in coverage. He's so good. The first game I watched actually was against Ohio State. And after watching, I texted Hussein to me. I'm like, this guy lined up in the slot every single play. I thought he was a safety. What's going on? So Hussein clarified that for me. He also clarified that earlier. But I like his versatility a lot, especially in base defenses when you may not have a nickel corner on the field where he can at least come down and aggressively man up a tight end. And I kind of trust him. There are times where, like you said, he does get handsy, but I kind of like when they're handsy, just not, you know, pulling on jerseys. I think hand fighting is a big component of covering. It annoys the receiver. It distracts the receiver from making the play, the catch, whatever it may be. So I would trust him against, you know, a Mike Gesicki on the Dolphins or a Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry on the Patriots, right? We're in a division with a lot of tight ends that need to be covered. Dawson Knox, Opportunity Knox. So, I think he would be really good at what we would need, especially given our division. And if the Jets were to make this pick, it would scream the fact that they're trying to win division games and they're trying to match up against the Dolphins, the Bills, the Patriots a lot better, because we can't, going over six is not an option anymore. So we got a game plan for that. And he's, like I said earlier, he's so aggressive, and that doesn't only pertain to coverage, but it also pertains to his run defense, because he is not afraid to be up around the line of scrimmage to make tackles. I like how he can be moved all over the place, and he shows recognition in a lot of things. He's smart. I don't know. I have a feeling that this is kind of like Robert Saleh's ideal safety, right?
Yep.
And the thing that also impressed me a lot is that he can run the flagpole up Tampa 2 really well. What I basically mean by that is he can cover the seam really well, whether it's cover 2, cover 3. And cover 3, you're going to be asked to do that as well, and you're going to be asked to cover that, especially since the seam is such an open space in the cover 3 defense. So having someone that can follow a tight end down that and cover them and stay in their hip pocket is crazy, crazy valuable. So with all that said, there were some moments in coverage where his aggressiveness got the best of him, and it happens. But the reason why I have him at three above the likes of Seen and Brisker is that he shows that he can excel in coverage. But there were times where in coverage he was torched. And I saw that against Michigan State mostly, where it was actually a post route, it looked like. It could have been a seam, but it looked like a post because it looked like he broke towards the middle. It looked like one of those option routes where the receiver has a choice and he kind of ran something in the middle. And he kind of just got torched off the line of scrimmage. But he was bailed out by pressure. So you can get beat as a corner a lot, actually. And sometimes it won't matter, which is kind of what Robert Saleh is trying to do. So in terms of his movement, though, I think he's just so explosive. Like, his change of direction abilities, top notch. I love how he's able to flip his hips so quickly. You went into his back pedal speed. That's incredibly, incredibly important. But also something that I didn't love, and I don't know if this is just the play call or the defense that they were in, but he looked like he tended to give up inside leverage a lot when he played the slot. Again, I don't know if that's just defensive schematics, but it was a lot, and he lined up with outside leverage, and he really wouldn't try and get back in the play. It was hard to see what his role was on that play, but I call it like I see it. And another thing about him, he's really instinctive as a player. Again, goes back to player recognition. But in terms of my pro comparison, I comped him to Jimmy Ward, former 49er. Jimmy Ward is more of a imposing physical presence, but he was able to show some juice in the passing game and in zone coverage. And that's kind of where I saw Daxon Hill. So just to clarify, this wasn't a body type comp. It was more play style. But that's kind of where I have Daxon Hill ranked at. So Usain, moving on to number two.
Real quick, I just want to add on about Daxon Hill. Something I thought of while you were talking is that what if we run like, if you get like Hill and maybe run him in that like big nickel slot like they did and put Junior and Whitehead on the field at the same time?
Yeah, that could easily be done too.
Yeah, but you're right about him. Moving on to number two, and this is why it hurt me so much. My number two is Lewis Cine. 6'1", 200 pounds, ran a 4.37 40, even faster than Daxon Hill, by the way. I texted you this when we were doing our edge rankings. When I was trying to watch Trayvon Walker, I could not get my eyes off Lewis Cine. He is everywhere. Every single time you see like a play and a ball carrier tackled, number 16 is on the screen near the play. Every single time. He's always there. If he's not the first one there, he's always there for support. But he might be the best one-on-one tackler in this class among safeties. He explodes. There was that play in the national championship where he just made one insane play in the backfield. He's always back there. He takes good angles. He does not really miss tackles. And if he does, it's because, you know, just plays too fast and that'll be coached up. He is a versatile safety. Like we know we got Whitehead. He's more of an in the box, but has some history deep. Lewis Cine is more of a deep, but has some history in the box. You can kind of play him both ways. A little bit like Michigan, but not nearly to the extent. He played some slot corner when Georgia ran big nickel. And I think something he does even better than Daxon Hill is go from the box and backpedal to that deep middle, that deep half. He does it really well. He plays so fast. He's always around the ball. He's a smart football player. He comes from a winning program with a really smart defense that produces NFL players. I just don't think there's not much to like about his game. Yes, he like can over-pursue in coverage, but I saw that over-pursuing from coverage when he was kind of like when he was playing the short zone, he was playing underneath, and then he was trying to pull off that lurk. I didn't see that as much when he was playing deep. That's not as much of a concern for me.
Okay, that's fair. Who's your pro comp for him?
This one, I gave the guy that we wanted bad, I gave him Marcus Williams.
That is some very, very high praise for your pro comp.
I want him at 35, bad.
I wouldn't be mad with him at number 35, not at all. But I will say, when I was watching Lewis Cine, something that really made it difficult to evaluate him was that the Georgia defensive line just ate against every single team that I watched in every single game that I watched. And it was so difficult because how am I supposed to scout a safety when the pressure just gets home so quickly? Now, it's not something against him, but like, it was such a struggle, right? And I couldn't watch with all 22 tapes. So once he was out of the picture, that was it, you know?
That Alabama film was a good one to try to watch because they have a line that kind of did slow him down.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I did watch that game, but.
Did you watch it all 22?
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? I was excited to watch that.
It was. He, you are right, though. He is everywhere. But funny enough that was the last thing I said, because my number two is someone who literally is always everywhere, and that's Jalen Pitre from Baylor. 5'11", 198 pounds. This guy is always around the football. Always. He played a lot of slot corner, mostly played slot corner, actually, like Hussein was referring to. But in terms of his transition to deep safety, I don't think there'll be many issues, to be honest with you. I think if you tell him, like, hey, look at the quarterback's eyes and just read and react, I think he's going to be elite at it. He's got great range. His ball skills are elite. He just always has a nose to be around the football, whether it's on the line of scrimmage, whether it's batting passes down, or whether it's playing slot corner. He's just always there. And this guy, man, this guy, he can put up a fight against linemen. And that's so, so critical if you want to play near the box. Something that Brisker kind of lacked. But man, he can really cause trouble around the line of scrimmage. And honestly, kind of watching his tape kind of reminded me of Blitz Boy a little bit. It kind of did.
With better ball skills.
Don't even get me started on the ball skills. Oh, Lord. I don't think Jalen Petrie's going to have a football bounce off his helmet in the NFL. But anyway, it's just, he's so good blitzing off the edge. And he has the thin, wiry frame where he can knife through gaps and get into the backfield. I think it was against Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you referred to it already. It was the goal line, and they tried to run at him multiple times, and he made the play every single time. It was like, you got to run to the other side, buddy. Like,
they threw at him a bunch of times too. It still didn't work.
And this guy's just a baller, man. He's so good. And I watched Baylor versus Oklahoma. The guy had a pick within the first 2 minutes of the game. It was instant, and I'm just like, that was perfect. He undercut the route well. It was beautiful to watch. Like, just imagine how hyped we would be if we were to watch a Jets game, and within 2 minutes of the game starting with the Jets on defense, we get an interception. When was the last time that happened as a Jets fan?
Against the Patriots in the divisional round when David Harris picked off Tom Brady on the screen pass.
I mean, that's the one thing that comes to my mind. I mean, regardless, we didn't even score on that drive anyway, which sucked enough. But anyway, the thing also I love about him blitzing is that he times the snap well. Like, he's got great get off when he's on the edge and sheds well. He shows wherever the ball is, shows up wherever the ball is, I mean. And I was watching the Ole Miss game. He bull rushed the left tackle. Bull rushed him, and he sacked the quarterback. It was, I think Petrie is now my draft crush in terms of safeties, because I loved watching his tape. Loved it every single game. I'm probably going to watch even more, honestly, in my free time, because it's that fun. And the thing I also enjoy is that he also times the hit well when he's in coverage, right? When the ball's coming that way and he can't get there and break up the pass, he times the hit well where it's not pass interference, and he also has a chance to get the ball out. And that's something he did against Oklahoma State, I'm pretty sure, where they threw into the end zone. I think it was like an in route over the middle, and he was able to click, close, and make the hit, and the ball popped out, and it saved the touchdown. Even though Baylor versus Oklahoma State was pretty much a non-competitive game late for the most part, because Baylor just was blowing them out until the end, I'm pretty sure. But he also uses his angles really well. And he loops on the defensive line. Like, they asked him to loop when he would fill in at like outside linebacker and play on the edge as a safety and in the big dollar and dime packages that you see on passing downs. And another thing that really impressed me in the Oklahoma State game is that he was able to make the quarterback bite on throwing a post over the middle, right? So essentially what happened was he was playing underneath the post. And he was playing it in such a great position where it made the quarterback think he was open. So the quarterback threw it high, naturally. Like, you see a post route, you see someone underneath him, you're going to throw it high, see if your guy can go up and make the play. Well, the quarterback overthrew it, and there was a deep safety right behind him.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect positioning. Literally, you couldn't have been any better. He's a pretty fluid athlete. He has really good speed. And I'm looking through my notes. I find it so funny. In my observations, I wrote, he's got some blitz boy in him. And I spelled boy, B-O-I, because why not? He's a great tackler. Not once did he ever look overmatched. Never. And that's something that Jaquan Brisker looked a lot, actually. Lewisine didn't look overmatched. Once you get to number four on my list, nobody was really overmatched. But the one negative that I saw from Petrie is that his back pedal can look a little choppy at times. Like when you were talking about Daxon Hill, how it was so quick, so fluid. Kind of the opposite with Petrie. He looks choppy. It looks uneven at times. And his hips can be tight at times when he wants to flip his hips and run. But from what I saw on tape, none of that was really ever detrimental, right? Like he was able to have the catch-up speed to make a play or to make the tackle. So I didn't really see it as a huge issue where it would drop him down my board a lot, which is why I think so highly of him. Oh, he is my favorite safety now, honestly. I love it. But getting into my pro comparison, I have two names. One is old school, one is new school. Which one do you want to hear first?
Old school.
I comped him to Bob Sanders.
Wow.
Just because of the versatility, right? They're both, you know, on the smaller side, but they do not play small at all. But in terms of the new school comp I have, it was Buda Baker, right? Another versatile safety who's been moved around everywhere. But this guy's a ball player, man. He can cause some damage in the defensive backfield in the line of scrimmage. I love Jalen Petrie. I can't say enough about him, so I'm just going to stop right here.
I do really like him. I think my biggest concern with him is that, like, just because he never played deep, it's just, you know, it's a bit of a projection asking him to play deep. You know, like, maybe he probably can, but it's a bit of a projection to me, and that makes it a lot more riskier than the guys I put above him. That's why.
No, you bring up an absolutely fair point. A lot of it did include projection on my part, but just given what I saw on tape, I think it would be, in my opinion, a very easy transition for him. And it might honestly be a little better for him at the NFL level, so he's not always lined up in the box on tackles and taking a beating, especially at a small size like that. So,
and if we got a like free safety, Jalen Petrie is probably my number two safety in terms of like what we need and what fits us. Like Petrie would have been my number two. When I started these rankings, he was my number two. I just moved Sean and Hill above him because of the better fit they were, in my opinion. The players themselves were all really close. Like on a big board, I think you could justify any of those top four guys going in the back end of round one. Would not be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either, honestly. And although I will say these guys, yes, they're grouped together closely, but I didn't have any trouble ranking them. I don't know if you did. I know you were worried about it before we started watching the film, but it was very easy for me.
Not as much after the fact, no. But yeah. Let's get into number one. Very clearly obvious. Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame. 6'4", 220. Ran a 4.59 at the combine and then ran like a 4.7 at his pro day. Captain at Notre Dame. Let me get one thing clear. I could give a rat's butt that he ran a 4.7 at his pro day, because you're talking about like a 0.15 second difference from the combine. Like you're just talking about he got a bad jump or something or took a bad step. Like if you watch his tape, he plays so much faster than that. That dude is an eraser. The definition of an eraser. He's all over the field at all times. He, like, you know, a guy does not go from the right hash to pick off a ball on the left sideline with 4.7 speed. All right. Enough. I don't want to hear it. He does everything. He plays in the box. He will play deep middle. If we were a team with a lot less holes, I would be screaming for him in the top 10. But we have too many holes, you know. And I told Joe about this. I've watched so much Hamilton that I didn't write down any notes. I wrote down a whole rant. He's my big board right now. He's number three. He's the third best player in the draft, in my opinion. And I don't have any doubts about that. I think if you ask me like three or five or 7 years from now, who are the top five players in this draft class, Kyle Hamilton will be on that list. He can do everything. but he's going to fall in this draft because he's a defender who does not hit the quarterback and does not cover number one receivers. And that's just how the world works. You know, people want to talk about 40 times for safeties. Ashton Davis ran a 4.3. So that should tell you everything you need to know. What matters more at safeties is not having speed. It's how you use it. It's your angles. It's your IQ. And he has all of that. You know, you're a safety.
Ashton Davis was elite at flying in and missing the tackle.
Exactly. You know, you're a safety. And if you're a safety, here's what's going to happen. If you're a safety like Kyle Hamilton, you're going to be a very good player on a Super Bowl winning defense. You're not going to be the reason your team wins a Super Bowl. You know, that's what the edge rushers and the number one corners are for. The Eagles and the Giants didn't beat Tom Brady because they had an all-pro safety back there. They beat him because they hit him. And that's just the fact of the matter, Kyle Hamilton. It's why, realistically, there's a decent chance four edge rushers will go before him, even though I think he's better than three of them as a football player. That's just how the NFL works today. It's just an unfortunate truth of that fact that he's not a fit as to where the NFL is going. He's undervalued for that reason, but he's a damn good player. I think he's going to be an all-pro at the next level. He's going to fall in the draft. He might even fall in the top 10. Don't be surprised. It doesn't change who he is as a player. And I comped him to someone who had that exact scenario, Derwin James. He plays exactly like him, versatility over the field, makes plays on the ball, forces turnovers. He was a top five. He regarded as like top five, top seven player that year, and he fell to like, what, 18 to the Chargers because he's a safety. And don't be surprised if the same thing happens this year with him.
Yeah, I think the Derwin James comp is honestly probably the most popular comp you see out there for Kyle Hamilton. And there are a lot of similarities. So it's, you know, it's no offense, but a little lazy.
Wow. I gave everyone a comp.
Hey, I'll take that. If it's any consolation, my comp for him was also a tiny bit lazy. But going into my number one safety, I had Nick Cross out of Maryland. No, I'm kidding. Nick Cross is a great player. I just want to freak you out a little bit. No, my number one player is Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame. He is huge, 6'4", 220 pounds. He's a large man. He could play deep safety. He was moved around everywhere. He played outside linebacker. He played on the edge. He played even in middle linebacker at times. He played slot corner. He played honestly everywhere. He was really like the JOK of last draft and this draft is what he looked like on tape. But he is a really good tackler. Like when he gets his arms around you, you're going down. You're not breaking his tackle. I really didn't see any broken tackles on his tape. So as a safety, you're usually the last line of defense. You need to tackle. So he does that at an extremely high level. Now, when he's playing the slot, he's even shown some press coverage ability. He's very strong at the point of attack. He's very strong with his hands. And he, like you said, in the Florida State game, he's that famous interception when he works from one hash to the sideline. Very good play. Also, there's some context, which I'll get into right now. If you just watch the play, the pressure from the defensive line helps Kyle Hamilton a lot, right? Because the quarterback has to escape. Now, my concern on this play is that NFL quarterbacks are going to have quicker recognition and they're going to see that play open a lot earlier. Like if you watch it, the quarterback rolls all the way to the sideline. Like he doesn't roll out, take a couple steps, stop, set his feet and throw. He rolls all the way to the sideline and then he threw up an absolute duck of a football. Like that thing hung up in the air. He got no power behind it. It was like the stars aligned for that play to be made for Kyle Hamilton. Now he does have great range. I don't really care about his 40 speed. I will only say I don't think he's a unicorn player like people were throwing out earlier in the draft process. There were some negatives on his tape, which I'll get into. But I liked what I saw a lot. He has great closing speed. He can, when the ball's thrown, he can click and close quick. He can get his hand in there and break it up, which I love to see. He was really good at reading the QB's eyes and zone coverage, and he can make a play on the ball. Although the Florida State quarterback was able to manipulate Kyle Hamilton with his eyes, and I'm pretty sure he threw a post on that play. I don't remember. I wish I wrote the details in my notes, but I didn't. But nonetheless, it was a big play. Kyle Hamilton got manipulated. It happens. It's going to happen more in the NFL. QBs are only going to get better at it. But in terms of the negatives, he's a great tackler, but he's not an enforcer. You know, like, he doesn't hit hard. He's a very safe tackler, which is good, but you're not going to get any fumbles and turnovers because of it. That's nitpicking, but in my mind is a negative. Now, coming from a team that had Ashton Davis in the backfield and, you know, trying to tackle, it's a very, very clear and huge upgrade when you have Kyle Hamilton coming as a tackler. But when I draft a safety, I want someone who can cover, and I want someone who can get the ball out and generate turnovers. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of what I was looking for in this top five safeties podcast episode. But in addition, because of his size, 6'4", there's some stiffness in his hips, especially when he tries to change direction, when he tries to turn and open his hips and run. He can lose a little balance when he tries to change direction quickly. Again, that goes back to his stiffness. He's not the most fluid athlete. Again, he's 6'4". He is pretty good athleticism for his size. You know, it's the same sentiment you hear with Drake London. Like, for his size, he runs well. For his size, he does this well. Kind of the same with Drake. It's kind of the same when you compare Drake London and Kyle Hamilton, just because they're so big. But I'm trying to see if there's anything I missed. I don't think I did. But, you know, I also pointed out there are a couple times where he got beaten coverage, and especially if it was a receiver or something that we've watched or heard of or something. But I watched the Cincinnati game. Alec Pierce did give him a run for his money in pass coverage. So I like to see that from Alec Pierce. But again, if you're a safety, you're going to be beaten coverage a lot. So it wasn't a horrible loss where he gave up a touchdown. You know, he just gave up a couple yards of separation, which I'll remind everyone who's listening that everything I'm saying right now, I'm nitpicking, right? Like, this is not a glaring issue in Kyle Hamilton's game, which is why he's number one on my rankings, but it's a lot of nitpicking. So going into my player comp, I compared him to Jeremy Chinn. They're both really big safeties. Jeremy Chinn was able to move around a lot. I don't like the face that Hussein made at me when I said that.
Jeremy Chinn.
I see a lot of similarities between the two. They're both really big. They both moved around a lot. Although I will say, I don't know if Kyle Hamilton is going to come in and be an all-pro immediately. Pro bowler, probably. I don't think he's that surefire all-pro in his rookie season. But again, I think it comes down to how I view Kyle Hamilton in terms of whether he is a generational player like some people think he is, and where I think of him. Like, he's a great safety prospect. He could probably be a number one safety in a lot of draft classes, but he's not generational. And that's kind of where I stand. That was kind of my thinking going into it before I took a deep dive into his film. And his film didn't really change my opinion. He's going to be a safety that is going to be ranked very highly in terms of this draft class. But like Hussein said, he's going to drop because he plays safety. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes outside the top 10. I wouldn't be surprised if he even went a little after 15. Cause like you said, I think Derwin James went pick 17, 18.
I think so. Something like that. Yeah.
So it's very in the realm of possibility. Kyle Hamilton could very likely be the one player where everyone questions why this player dropped. But it all comes down to positional value. So that's kind of where I stand on Kyle Hamilton. So Hussein made a face at me. do you have anything to say for yourself?
I will say one thing, something that did make me feel like a little weird is when you said like you wanted, you want your safety to get the ball out. And that's true if you're in the box safety. If you're talking about your guy you want to play center field and free safety, your job is not to, you know, I mean, obviously it'd be nice to get the ball out, but your job is to, you know, play the ball in the air. And then at that point, just don't miss tackles in the open field. You know, like you're never going to fight. Like it's very rare at that point. That's, we're talking about a unicorn, about a guy who can play center field and cover the ball deep, but also, you know, play in the box and get the ball out. That's, you know, unicorn. Like you don't really see that.
I want to see it everywhere, especially when we're talking about a unicorn. You can tackle in a way that you will get the guy down and you can go for the football. Like there's techniques for that. And usually the high level players will incorporate that in their game. And I didn't really see it. He's a safe tackler. There's nothing wrong with it. That's kind of what you want to see from a safety. But if we're talking unicorn level,
I'm not calling him a unicorn.
I know.
I'm not calling him a unicorn.
I know you're not. But like, that's why I said that. Like if you're going to be called a unicorn, you got to be able to make plays.
I don't think there is a single safety in the NFL who can, you know, register like more than 3 or 4 picks a year and also that many forced fumbles. Before I wrap up, there are 2 guys that I want to give some shout outs to. It's not a just miss because, like Joe said, after the top 5, there's a very clear drop off. But these are 2 guys I feel like they could be very good fit and selected in round 3. Veron McKinley from Oregon, who is a free safety by trade. That's what he does. That's all he's ever played. That's all he should play. He's a very good ball hawk. He had a strong season. He had a pick against CJ Stroud when Oregon knocked him off this year. He's just a ball hawk. That's really about it. He was very good for Oregon. I think he'd be a good fit in at 69. For reference, this year he had 6 interceptions and has 11 in his 3 years at Oregon. So that just tells you how much he is as a ball hawk. The other one is Kirby Joseph. Same deal. Center fielder by trade. All he's ever done, all he should do. He played for Illinois in the Big Ten, small school. He had 5 picks this year, just being a, you know, pure deep safety. And I think both of them are good, you know, if that's what you want, or like, you know, you don't get safety round 2. Those are 2 guys you can kind of stash and develop behind Joyner.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of with you there on Veron McKinley. The really, really poor testing does kind of concern me because it wasn't just bad. It was pitiful, honestly.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was definitely weird.
It was very weird to see.
Because it doesn't seem like that when he plays, but yeah, it was horrendous.
Yeah. But going, you know, Veron McKinley on the same page, he's probably my number 6 safety. There were a couple other names that I saw that I was tempted, but Brian Cook, he's more of a strong safety, so I didn't really want to put him on my top 5 or even the can't miss. Nick Cross is really, really fast, but very, very undisciplined, especially in terms of his of being sucked into play action and being manipulated with eyes. So honestly, Veron McKinley is really the only player that's really worth mentioning outside the top 5, in my opinion, even with the poor testing. It's just the talent just drops off like a cliff. It was such a notable difference. It really kind of scared me if the Jets don't address safety in the second round, whether the Jets are able to trade for a player or a receiver, or if they just go a different round in the second round. So I'm praying that at pick 35 or 38, the Jets are picking a safety, because if not, we may be in slight trouble. But that's just kind of where I stand, you know, in terms of the safety class. It's Kyle Hamilton and a bunch of great depth. Depth wasn't the right word. They're starters.
Day one starters.
Right. But I feel like after you get like on number 6 on this list, you're going to get to a lot of depth players who aren't starters. Mm-hmm. And the Jets need starters.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Aside from me having Lewis seen at number 4.
We just flip-flop 2 and 4. Other than that, it's been the same. I'm actually kind of surprised. Yeah. Like our, you know, cohesion so far on these rankings have been pretty similar. And like, we don't talk to each other about him at all until we hop on our pod.
Yeah. I mean, I did throw in a curveball with George Pickens at number three. That kind of shocked you. But there really hasn't been shockers.
Not a single shocker.
Because we've had pretty much the same order, except maybe you flip a player. We choose a different player at number five, which happened in the edge rushers rankings video.
We seem to think the same way, which I never thought we did. I thought we were very opposite, honestly.
Yeah. Well, who knows? It may change because we have corners next and then linebackers. And I hope that we can keep doing this after even the draft, because we won't see how they play until August. So our rankings will still matter even after the draft. So with all that said, guys, thank you guys for listening all the way to the end. We are very curious to see what you think of our rankings and who did the better job of ranking the safeties, even though our rankings were pretty similar.
Hint, it's not the guy with Lewis Sign at four.
Hint, it's not the guy with Jalen Petrie at four. But let us know what you guys think. Also, let us know if there's any safety prospects that we did not mention or you don't think that we gave enough love to. But on that note, guys, we hope you come back and listen to our future episodes with corners and linebackers. And please remember to follow our Twitter page. Our Twitter handle is @Revis_Butthead. Enjoy the cover art. It's gorgeous. Nice little plane on the logo. So hop on over to Twitter, give us a follow, interact with us, and maybe get into a few heated arguments with us. It's all love in the end. We're all Jets fans. But on that note, guys, peace out, Jets nerds.
See you later, homies.